Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and thank you for tuning us to King George Radio for Monday, July 29th, 2013. This is King George you're listening to. Let's bring in, out of Chicago, the co-host for the week, the Wrestling Insider, the one only JJ, joined us on King George Radio. Good evening, JJ. How are you?
Hey, King, great to be on. A lot going on in the world of wrestling. The WWE is doing their South America tour, and they tape Raw in advance. There's lots of news with TNA, and, of course, the WWE's new reality show, Total Divas.
That's right. We're going to give away some Raw information. If you don't want to hear that, just giving you a little heads up, because Raw is taped today, right?
That is correct. It was taped last week, so, you know, all the matches are all set up. You can, if you want to hear spoilers, it's one thing. If you just want to give out just a general sum up of what's going to happen, we can do that too.
Well, let's give the spoilers out, because we did have some fans that were hoping to hear that. This way they could choose not to listen for the next few minutes and then come back and listen. So if you have the spoilers, let's go for it.
Well, actually, I do have the lineup. I'm not sure. Let's see. I do have the spoilers, I believe. You know, on Raw, of course, 3 hours. We've had some great Monday Night Raws the past few weeks. We have some five-star matches with Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, CM Punk, Chris Jericho, Rob Van Dam, and I'm hoping that tonight we'll see a special match that really lives up to the last few weeks. But we know Raw starts off with Shield, a 3-on-3 match against Mark Henry and the Usos. I would look to see Shield will defeat Mark Henry and the Usos. Also, Rob Van Dam will be taking on Fandango for the first time, so that should be exciting to watch. Rob Van Dam will definitely get the win over Fandango. Later, we will see a non-title match where Caitlin defeats the Divas champion, AJ Lee, but it is a non-title match, so the title will not change hands. Dolph Ziggler will get a match with Big E Langston. Dolph Ziggler will get the win. Christian will have a non-title match with Alberto Del Rio. And Christian, you should look to upset. Christian will upset the World Heavyweight Champion and defeat him. So I'm curious to see how that plays out, to see Del Rio lose. I mean, it's a non-title match, but the fact that Christian just beat the World Heavyweight Champion should make him the new number one contender. Also on the show, Cody Rhodes, Wade Barrett, Daniel Bryan goes up against Kane, Brie Bella takes on Natalya, Curtis Axel takes on R-Truth, and of course, the main event for the night will be a tables match that will feature John Cena defeating Ryback.
Oh, wow. So the Ryback continues.
Yeah.
And they continue to look forward to SummerSlam coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah, SummerSlam coming up August, 18th. As far as we know, there are two matches confirmed for SummerSlam. There's the just announced last week, CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar, and what's being billed as the Best versus the Beast, and Paul Heyman will be in Lesnar's corner, so he should definitely play a huge role in that match. Also, for the WWE Championship, John Cena should be defending his title against Daniel Bryan. John Cena had the opportunity to choose his opponent for SummerSlam. He picked Daniel Bryan. Whether or not there's a last-minute change to that match, whether or not the WWE decides to add someone, make it a triple threat, whether or not Randy Orton, who is Mr. Money in the Bank for the Raw WWE Championship, he could cash in his briefcase and he could walk out of SummerSlam as the WWE champion.
Think that could happen?
I think it very could happen, especially Daniel Bryan, who the fans are really into. They're really loving Daniel Bryan. The fact he's going up against John Cena, this is a great way to have a match where you have Cena, you have poop fans, you know, he gets the mixed reactions. You have Daniel Bryan, who's really hot right now. There's no greater way to put Daniel Bryan over than to have this match between Cena and him, and something happens, maybe the referee gets knocked out, or maybe they're both down for the count, or Ryback interferes and demolishes both of them, and then you have them both just kind of laid out in the middle of the ring. It's the perfect opportunity to cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase and have Orton upset Bryan. Everyone's going to be rooting for Bryan. So for Orton to come in and steal a victory, to steal the title away from Cena and away from Bryan, I think it's a great way for Orton to turn heel, and then it's a great way for maybe to set up a Daniel Bryan-Randy Orton feud.
Hmm. Definitely sounds interesting. Do you know where SummerSlam is this year?
SummerSlam, I believe, will be in Los Angeles. It's been in Los Angeles for, I think, the last 5 years consecutively.
Yeah.
So they're going to Hollywood.
That's interesting, though. So many years that they're at Staples Center.
Ever known a pay-per-view where you had just in one location for a few years in a row? I mean, you look at WrestleMania and, you know, Madison Square Garden, and this is back in the early days when they didn't do a whole lot of traveling. They didn't have a lot of, you know, locations for these shows. And now they're actually kind of making it like their home turf for SummerSlam. They go over to Los Angeles. They got some, you know, the stars are in attendance, and they have this big kind of feel for SummerSlam. It's pretty interesting. And on the other hand, I feel bad for a lot of the other cities who maybe don't get to see wrestling, and, you know, they're missing out on having that, you know, time seeing this big show like SummerSlam, which is one of the original four.
Oh, that, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. So what's this reality show coming up?
Yeah, well, actually, tonight, if you didn't watch it yesterday on the E! Network, which was the big premiere, you can watch an encore of WWE reality show Total Divas after Monday Night Raw on the USA Network. USA Network will be airing the encore of Total Divas after Monday Night Raw. Total Divas, in a nutshell, is basically the WWE's newest reality show featuring seven divas, five of which everybody are familiar with. It's Natalya, you know, Natty Neidhart, the Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie, and the Funkadactyls, Cameron and Naomi. It also features two NXT hopefuls who are hoping to make it to the main roster eventually. And those two hopefuls are JoJo Offerman and Eva Marie. And basically, it's just showing you I don't want to say it's behind the scenes, because in some ways it is behind the scenes. It's taking cameras backstage to what wrestling fans who watch Raw or SmackDown, you're seeing things you wouldn't normally see on the televised wrestling show. So in a way, it is backstage, but at the same time, it's very careful. They're very careful in what they reveal to you as the viewer. They're not, you know, completely, you know, pulling the curtain back, but they are setting up, you know, situations where they put the cameras backstage for specific events where the divas are talking to each other or preparing for a match, or they're with their family members or their boyfriends, and they use their real names. I was very surprised. The Funkadactyls, Cameron and Naomi, they use their real names. Trinity, Naomi, I believe her real name is Trinity, and Cameron's real name is, I think, Adrian or Adriana. And you learn about their relationships, their personal lives. It really takes you into what they do, their work, their traveling, their training, their ring work, just all the pressure and jealousy that you see behind the scenes. You know, you see Natalya, who, you know, who's been doing this for almost 13 years now. She's been wrestling all over the world, Mexico, Japan. I mean, as you know, we had Diana Hart on, and she talked about Natalya and all the work she did just to get to the WWE. And they touch on that on the show. Natalya, you know, she talks to the cameras, and she goes, listen, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And the WWE, they're bringing in these new girls, and they basically have me as this babysitter. And I'm here to teach them and show them and to kind of break them in. And meanwhile, I'm not really being used to my full potential. I want to go out there and wrestle. I don't really want to babysit these little kids. And one of the hopefuls is only 19 years old. She's practically out of the womb, and she's already being put into this wrestling ring, into the circus life of what it is to be a WWE superstar. And you learn about the Bella's relationships with their boyfriends, who, as I mentioned before, Nikki Bella is dating John Cena, and Brie Bella is dating Daniel Bryan. And Brie mentioned that she's dating Daniel Bryan. She used his real name, of course, which is Bryan Danielson. And they often, Nikki Bella, who wants to get, you know, married in the future, they talk about John Cena and his divorce and how he's kind of closed off. He doesn't want to get remarried. There's lots of, you know, it's that typical reality show where you just kind of see them talking and just, for the most part, you know, they're being honest with each other, but they're, you know, setting up these events where, you know, the camera's there, so they have to talk about it. I mean, a lot of it is supposed to be reality, but in the one sense, if you've ever watched a reality show, you know that there's certain events that are set up in a specific time and place because, you know, they want the cameras to capture that moment. So there's a moment where they want to talk to Natalya, and they would call her up and say, listen, we want you to come over because there's something we want to tell you. Normally, I think they would have just told her over the phone, but since now they have this reality show, they got to bring the cameras, and they got to make up this big deal of all these news. So I definitely expect to see lots more behind the scenes, hopefully.
No question. What do we have on deck for SummerSlam thus far?
As I mentioned, SummerSlam, there's only two confirmed matches. We should see something with the tag team titles, Shield and the Usos, most likely. As far as the World Heavyweight Championship is concerned, Del Rio doesn't really have anyone challenging him yet. Dolph Ziggler is kind of still in this program where he broke up with AJ Lee, and he's kind of feuding with Big E Langston, which we will see tonight on Raw, where Dolph Ziggler takes on Big E Langston, and they will have their first ever match together. Big E's been partnered with Dolph for the last 6 months or so, ever since he debuted on Raw. So this is their first kind of match against each other.
Absolutely. Okay, let's get this commercial in and we'll come right back.
Brooklyn, your vision. You've always stood stretched out into the harbor like a welcome sign. To the huddled masses, to the folks on the stoop, to the underdogs and the unsung. You built bridges for the willing, rewarding them with your spirit, alive and breathing. Your streets pulse to your own beat. Your people are your charm. Your people are your soul. And we've noticed that we already have a few things in common. We're a friend to the scrappy, the loyal, and ready. We've seen spirit and thrills at its very best and at its most trying. We've also been the underdogs, waiting for our chance. And now, Brooklyn, we root for the same cause because we believe in the same things you do. That neighborhood is family. And loyalty never goes away. We're grateful for the chance to be a part of this, to be a part of what could be, to be a part of the first time in a long time to call this place home. And to be able to say, hello, Brooklyn.
I got a cut. The title of this next cut I'm going to play is Chris Sabin, TNA's version of Daniel Bryan. Let's take a listen. I think you'll like it.
And he won the World Heavyweight Championship. Was it the strongest way to put him over? Not necessarily. I mean, you know, I guess he could have beaten Bully with his finish. But the whole story they were telling is, I'm bigger and badder than you. You can't beat me. And Sabin found a way to win. So the question is now, where do they go from here? Are they going to keep the title on Sabin for more than, let's say, a month? Is Sabin going to be the champion going into Bound for Glory? A lot of people said the same thing a year ago about Austin Aries. Austin Aries won the title from Bobby Roode in July at Destination X. I was one of those people who figured, okay, at the next pay-per-view, they're going to take the title off Aries, which I thought would be a mistake, because Aries had a hell of a lot more momentum than Chris Sabin has right now. And thankfully, they didn't do that. They actually kept the title on Aries through Bound for Glory, which is a hell of a lot longer than I thought they would. Chris Sabin, I'm happy that they're trying something different with a new guy. I mean, he's been with TNA from the very beginning, and he's, I think, 31 years old, I think, but it's somebody different in the main event picture. It's not the usual Sting, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles. It's Chris Sabin. Somebody who we've never seen in main events before. He's never been world champion before. It's different. They're trying to get this guy over as a main eventer. I don't know that it's going to work, just because Austin Aries had something Chris Sabin doesn't. He has personality. He has a certain charisma that Sabin simply doesn't have. And Saban, from an in-ring perspective, Saban isn't even the same performer that Austin Aries is. And a lot of that has to do with the injuries. I think there's a lot of things Chris Saban, you just don't see him do now. If you go back and watch an old Chris Saban match from 2 years ago, or even 5 years ago in TNA, and some of the stuff he was doing with Alex Shelley when they were the Motor City Machine Guns, he was a hell of a lot more... What's the word I'm looking for? The stuff that he did was a hell of a lot more risky. Let's put it that way. Now he's a lot smarter because he has to be. One wrong move, if he fucks up either one of his knees, because he's got two of them he's got to watch out for, not just one, that could be the end for him. And he knows that. So you have to adapt and adjust your style. It's like when Steve Austin got dropped on his head. Austin used to be more of a technical wrestler. And when he would bump, he would take these wacky bumps, kind of like The Rock did whenever The Rock fought Austin. Remember The Rock would do the little flip every time he would take the stunner? It was this over-the-top way of bumping. Austin never flipped and flopped around like The Rock did, but Austin was actually a pretty good bumper. He used to do a lot more. When he got dropped on his neck, it forced him to change his style. So Steve Austin was not as good of a wrestler in 1998 and 99 at his peak as he was in 1996. Not even close. Austin was nothing compared to what he used to be as far as being an in-ring performer. But he adjusted. And that's what Chris Saban has to do. So Austin Aries is a better overall performer. He had a lot more going for him. The crowd just seemed to be more into him. I don't feel the same thing with Saban, but I'm willing to cut TNA some slack here and see where they go with it, because maybe he gets over. Maybe he becomes the next Austin Aries and the fans really get behind him. And he gets more promo time, and he can develop a personality that people can really like and want to see more of. I just don't see it right now. And I don't see him holding the title for very long either. I don't know what happens at the next set of tapings. I assume if he lost the belt the next set of tapings, I would have heard about it by now. And they don't have any more pay-per-views like last year until Bound for Glory. So unless Saban is going to Bound for Glory as the champion, I don't think he is, then we may be seeing a second world title change on Impact sometime in the next several weeks. Because to me, depending on who wins the Bound for Glory series, if you're going to have an AJ Styles win, or even a Magnus, who's way ahead on points right now, Bully Ray would make more sense to be the champion, the defending champion, going into Bound for Glory. So, for one night anyway, Chris Saban was put over like a real superstar. Even Hulk Hogan did a backstage segment with him, saying you got to do this for the company, you got to bring the belt back to TNA, make people remember this moment, doing what he can to make it feel like a big moment. And I think it was. It felt like a special moment. By TNA standards, it felt like a special moment. I don't know if they're trying to make Chris Saban to be their version of Daniel Bryan. I hope not, because they will fail if that's their goal here. So that was the big story. That was the big main event from the pay-per-view.
Okay, JJ, your thoughts on that clip I just played?
Oh, it's very interesting that he makes that comparison, especially to Daniel Bryan, when you look at where TNA was last year, and you looked at
right.
where CM Punk was last year in the WWE. CM Punk, who was just one of the hottest superstars in wrestling last year, and TNA's response to that was Austin Aries, another person who very outspoken, who's very talented in that ring. Austin Aries is a hell of a performer. He has this very fast-paced style, and it's very, in your face, and he has an attitude about himself. He has charisma where you're really on the edge of your seats when, he's talking and he's pissed off. You believe it when he's pissed off. And it was pretty cool. I was really happy for Austin Aries. It was something fresh for TNA at the time. You fast forward 1 year later and you look at the WWE and, someone like Daniel Bryan, who's just one of the hottest superstars in wrestling. In my opinion, when you watch Daniel Bryan, whatever arena he goes to, there are people jumping out of their seats, pointing their hands to the sky and screaming yes. There are people cheering and chanting his name, Daniel Bryan. And, maybe TNA's response to that is to push someone up who is just known as just wrestler, Chris Saban, who, as they mentioned in that clip, you know, for the last 5 years or so, you know, you look at Chris Sabin's matches, especially his tag team matches with Alex Shelley and the Motor City Machine Guns. I mean, those guys were two of the most talented performers who really made tag team wrestling important. Every time you saw them wrestle, it was just beautiful. They put on some of the greatest matches in tag team wrestling. And it's a shame that, you know, that Alex Shelley isn't with TNA anymore and they've kind of moved on. But Chris Sabin is now your TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Is he as popular? Does he have the momentum that Daniel Bryan has? I don't know. I don't see him as popular as Daniel Bryan. I don't see him with that momentum. He's someone who was injured for the better part of a year. He made his return to wrestling. He had this sort of underdog story where he tore both of his ACLs in his knee. And, you know, the doctors were basically telling him the first time he tore his knee up, and they said, you know, maybe you should think about something else. And he says, you know, there's no way. I'm not quitting this. This is my dream. This is my life. And then he comes back, and then he tears the other knee. So now he's thinking, you know, maybe the doctors are right. Maybe my friends and maybe my family are right, and maybe I should quit this. Maybe I should look into something else with my life and a new career or something. And it was, you know, a lot of the people in TNA, the fans, they wanted him to come back, and he took the chance. He trained, he did his rehab, he came back, and immediately he wins the X Division title, and then immediately he cashes in the X Division title. He cashes in the X Division title for an opportunity at the TNA World title. And now he's your champion. And it's a beautiful story of someone who really sought out to achieve his boyhood dream. But at the same time, I don't know if he's quite that over with the fans. I think everyone's excited. It's something new and fresh. Someone who's never been in the main event before, ever. He's always been, you know, the X Division champion. He's always been in tag team wrestling. But he's never had main events against Sting, against, you know, Kurt Angle or Jeff Hardy or, you know, any of their top guys, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. He's always kind of been that low-key guy who, you know, had great matches. But now that he's been hurt, and, I mean, as they mentioned, if he tears up his leg again, that, you know, that's it for him. He has to be very smart and very careful. Mm-hmm. He's not doing as much in the ring, but at the same time, he's still putting on pretty good matches. I liked his match with Bully Ray. I thought it was a really good, solid match. You know, Bully, you know, he's one of the best people to watch right now. He really knows how to get under the fan's skin. He's a great heel, and he really sold it to Chris Sabin. And I give him a hell of a, you know, props for that. And I was shocked. I was genuinely shocked. I never expected Chris Sabin to win the title. I expected Bully Ray to ride it to Bound for Glory. So now you have this kind of fresh approach. Who challenges Chris Sabin? They have the Bound for Glory series. And as I wanted to mention before, TNA is doing this thing where if you go to their website, you can actually choose what matches you would like to be seen this week for Impact, and I believe next week. You can go to TNA.com, and they give you three different cards. One card that features Jeff Hardy and Anderson, Magnus and Samoa Joe, AJ Styles and Bobby Roode, Joseph Park and Hernandez, Austin Aries and Christopher Daniels, Kazarian and Jay Bradley. Then they have another card, which if you want to vote, you can choose to be the match that they air on Impact. And that is, you know, AJ Styles and Austin Aries, Mr. Anderson and Magnus, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, Bobby Roode versus Hernandez, Joseph Park versus Jay Bradley, and Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy. And then the last card you can choose would be Samoa Joe versus Aries, Jeff Hardy versus Hernandez, Jay Bradley versus Bobby Roode, Magnus versus Kazarian, Anderson versus Joseph Park, and AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels. And there's at least one or two matches on each card that you can choose from that have the potential to be five-star matches You know, in the third card, there's AJ Styles versus Chris Daniels. We've seen these guys just tear it up in the past in TNA. So on the one hand, it's guaranteed to be a five-star match, but at the same time, we've already seen it. Their second card, I personally would love to see Austin Aries versus AJ Styles in a one-on-one match. I think these guys would just tear it up. It would be a big match for Impact. Also, you have Daniels versus Kazarian. That match is interesting to me because Daniels and Kazarian are tag team partners. They're Bad Influence. That would be interesting to see them face each other, and then they would have to carry on their tag team. So that's something that's very interesting to me. And then the first card, which also is interesting to me, is because you have basically the Ring of Honor guys, Austin Aries versus Christopher Daniels. I would love to see that matchup with two original Ring of Honor guys. That would be awesome to me. Then you have also, what else would be good? Why, like I said, I it's very difficult to choose. I mean, I personally like Aries and Styles, Daniels and Kaz, but then Aries and Daniels would be awesome. So it's up to the fans. They can vote, and whatever, you know, whichever card they vote for, TNA will feature that and the Impact. You can watch it, watch the match you vote for. So it's kind of interesting. It seems like they might be copying the WWE and the fact that WWE has their sort of app where you can, you know, vote for a particular match or stipulation. And this time TNA is giving you the entire card. It's not just one match. It's the whole Impact show. For 2 hours, you decide which card you want to see. So that's kind of interesting to me. And as far as pay-per-view goes, we do know that their last pay-per-view is Bound for Glory at the end of October. But and then what they're going to do is, much like Destination X was featured on Impact, I believe August 15th, TNA will feature the Hardcore Justice, which used to be a pay-per-view for them. They will feature Hardcore Justice as an episode of Impact, and it will feature Chris Sabin, the TNA heavyweight champion, who will be defending his title against Bully Ray in a steel cage.
Wow. Wow. So that should be interesting.
So as I mentioned, do you take the title off Saban? Do you have Bully Ray go into Bound for Glory? It's very interesting what they do until, you know, Bound for Glory comes, which for them, they keep telling us that Bound for Glory is their biggest pay-per-view of the year. So you would want the strongest champion possible to have the biggest, you know, story of the night. And would it be Bully Ray? Or would you have Chris Sabin versus, you know, AJ Styles? AJ Styles last year was in a match for Bound for Glory in which he lost. And when he lost, the stipulation was whoever got pinned in this, I don't know if it was a triple threat match, I believe, whoever got pinned couldn't challenge for the TNA heavyweight title for 1 year. So you fast forward the clock, that would be this year's Bound for Glory. So should AJ Styles win the series, he'll be granted his world heavyweight opportunity, an opportunity he hasn't had for one solid year.
Totally. Did you bring it on to another subject? Do you remember the Jimmy Snuka situation back 25 years ago? What happened in New York where there was some alleged foul play and it never got prosecuted?
Oh, wow. No, I'm not familiar with that story. Definitely, if you could tell me more about it, I definitely would like to hear it.
Okay, what I'm going to do with it is, courtesy of TV Tricks, let's play the clip, 1109. Is Jimmy Snuka, should he be indicted or investigated for what happened 25 years ago? Here we go.
I want to thank everybody out there that actually found me reading that Jimmy Snuka article from the Morning Call a couple of weeks ago, found it not to be boring. There was a lot of information in that article that was never released before. All right, a lot of that information fascinated me. It fascinated Kevin. It fascinated a lot of longtime wrestling fans, especially people that were WWF fans at the time and remember the incident, you know, back in 1982, 83. It was 83, actually, when it happened. Well, you know, just to let everybody know, and it sucks because if Kev would have been on, it would have been a lot funnier. But, you know, I was thinking about it earlier, and I thought the perfect title for the article should have been Super, Super, Super Fucked. You know, his intro music, Super, Super, Super Fly. I think right now it might be more like Super, Super, Super Fucked. You know, as I do that, any, like, people that live in New York that might have listened to, like, freestyle and club music back in the early 80s, don't I just sound like Paco? Remember Paco's Super Mix? I know some people out there will know who I'm talking about, but I just realized I sound like Paco. Super, super. Anyway, Morning Call posted an updated article over the weekend and said that, believe it or not, the district attorney is going to take a look at the case again. Their quote was, they're going to take a fresh look to see if a grand jury investigation is warranted. Now, I'll be totally honest with you people. I don't know what happened that night. Nobody does. Well, I'm sure Jimmy Snuka does, Vince McMahon does, and, you know, the girl that's now deceased. But, you know, when you read information that was released 30 years later, that she had all these cuts and all these bruises on her body. Now, keep in mind, people, 24 cuts and bruises on her head, her ears, her chin, her arms, her hands, her back, her ass, her legs, and her feet. Now, everybody, seriously, you know what I want you to do right now? Anybody that's listening right now, if you're a guy listening, you're married to a girl, I want you to, you know, I don't mean this for real, but I want you to just, you know, turn over to her, and I want you to give her cuts and bruises to her head. Better yet, do it to yourself. Go in the bathroom right now. Go in the mirror. You don't have to actually do this. Take a magic marker. Take a pencil. You know, take body paint. Take lipstick. I don't care what you use. You know, maybe I'm sure some idiot out there is actually going to do it, but take a little marker or a little, like, lipstick pencil or something, and then put a little couple of marks on your head, on your ears, on your chin, on your arms, on your hands, on your back, on your legs, and on your feet. All right? Then look in the mirror of yourself, and you're going to say to yourself, what the fuck happened to me? Now, how the fuck does someone get all these bruises and cuts on her head, her ears, her chin, her arms, her hands, her back, her ass, her legs, her feet, and nobody thinks that foul play may be involved? Not only that, when the cops first interviewed Snuka, Snuka told at least 5 people, including the police officer at the scene, that he shoved her, causing her to fall and hit her head. Okay? After, I guess, he realized, you know, wait, that sounds pretty incriminating. All of a sudden, he said later on, no, brother, I misunderstood, brother. She slipped and hit her head when we stopped along the highway to go pee-pee, brother. Now, look, Snuka is one of my all-time favorites, my top 5, easily. Terry Funk, Magnificent Morocco, Snuka, those are my top 3, easily. Backlund's up there, too. I like Backlund. I don't give a shit for the people that said he was boring. Yeah, his promos suck, but he entertained the shit out of me when I was a kid. All right. But, you know, when a grown man, you know, oh, I misunderstood you, brother. I didn't really shove her and she fell and hit her head. We actually, no, you know, she slipped when we went to do pee-pee along the road. How do you make such a big mistake like that? All right. And not only that, people, unless maybe Ronnie Garvin was there and gave her the Garvin stomp. You remember when Ronnie Garvin used to, like, kick the person in the arms, in the chest, in the legs, in the feet, in the face, in the neck, in the penis, blah, 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 blah. All right, how the fuck does someone like accidentally fall while doing pee-pee and getting all those fucking marks and cuts to her head, her ears, her chin, her arms, her hands, her back, her ass, her legs, and her feet? All right? So I don't blame the Argentino family, that was the last name of the woman, wanting this reopened. But people, although I believe that foul play was involved, and, you know, Snook is 70 years old now, and I would feel bad if he was indicted on that. And if I was him, I would be, you know, I would probably be scared shit all these years. He says it's ruined his life. And I'll be honest with you people, all right? The guy, and look, it's easier said because we've never been in this situation. And I know somebody out there is probably saying right now, why are you spending so much time on this? Well, because I have a feeling TV Tracks is going to put this on YouTube. Brother. No, but seriously, if you went out with a girl 20, 30 years ago, you know, and the girl fell, OD'd or whatever, and she died, yeah, that would be pretty, that would shake you up. But would it ruin your life, brother? Now, yeah, I know he's a public figure, and having this associated with him for 30 years would be really tough to swallow. But to actually write in your book that it's totally ruined your life, I would think that the only way it would ruin your life is if you really know something that others don't, and for 30 years it's eaten you up like battery acid inside, that maybe one day you have to worry that that telephone's going to ring or the doorbell's going to ring and it's going to be investigators saying, brother, put on those slippers, brother. You can't go down to the police department barefoot, brother. So I think the reason why this man says it's ruined his life is because it has eaten him up for 30 years, the unknown. Could one day I get indicted for this? Brother. So again, he's one of my favorites of all time. But I remember in 1983 how much controversy was around him. I mean, he ended up not doing WrestleMania other than standing ringside for Hogan and Mr. T because of all this controversy. Vince McMahon and WWE paid $500,000 for wrongful death, I think, out of court or something. All right, a bystander in a hotel room, brother, I don't think, you know what I mean? Look, I'm not going to incriminate the guy, but where I'm going with all of this is plain and simple. Do I think that something else happened? Absolutely. Do I think it was an accident? Very well could have been. But as much as I feel bad for the Argentino family, the fact that this district attorney for 30 years never thought two dozen cuts to her legs, her hands, blah, 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 wasn't enough to possibly think, hey, there might be foul play, brother. So you know what? I would not incriminate Snooker at this point. The Argentino family should be pissed off at the district attorney for never pursuing this further. And I'm sorry, if that was my sister or my mother or whoever it was close to my family, and I saw that this man was wrestling on TV, and I don't care if I got $500,000, I would be fucking bothering that district attorney year after year after year. I would be going to newspapers year after year after year. How could my mother, my daughter, my sister, my whatever, you know, my transsexual brother, how could that person have 20-something cuts and bruises all over their entire fucking body, and this man is not even, like, investigated? So the fact that this has been so silent for 30 years, I think, you know what, I feel bad for that family, but I think it's about time everybody, including me, should shut the fuck up about this and move on. It's a story that we'll never have an answer for. It's a shame. And, brother, you know, it's funny. I do the Hogan thing. Brother! Now we got brother. Sandra Toffoloni. Toffoloni, that must be Italian. Sandra Toffoloni, the sister of Nancy Benoit, a.k.a. Woman, you know, who is now deceased, unfortunately. She did an interview with a website called TheTwoCount.com. The number two is in there. T-H-E-2, the number two, C-O-U-N-T.com. about the whole tragedy. Chris Benoit, Nancy Benoit, Daniel Benoit. And in the interview, I mean, she said some very interesting stuff. She insisted there was nothing medically wrong with Daniel Benoit. Remember all the controversy that, you know, he might have had, like, some type of, you know, like, issue, I guess we could call it. But what was interesting, too, was that in the interview, she said that the medical examiner told the family that even if this tragedy wouldn't have occurred, that Chris Benoit would have been dead within 10 months anyway because his heart was around 3 times the normal size of a human being. So if this, you know, a lot of people say, you know, what would have happened if, you know, Benoit never killed his family and stuff like that? You know what? The medical examiner thinks that within 10 months he would have been dead anyway. So, you know, I guess in hindsight, if we were wondering what would have happened if Benoit never did this, we probably would have got one more WrestleMania out of him, and that would have been it. So, you know, it's a really interesting interview if you want to go check it out. But I just figured I'd share with everybody.
Wow. Okay, JJ, your thoughts?
Oh, wow. Like you said, anytime you hear something, a story like this, it gets very real very fast. And as he mentioned with the Chris Benoit story, you know, the only person who really knows what happened is Chris Benoit. As fans, I can only talk about the evidence that they talk about, that they released and made public. And with this situation with Jimmy Snuka, you know, I don't know the story 100%. I just know based on what I just heard just now. And the only one who really knows what happened, as he pointed out, was Jimmy Snuka for sure. And as he released in his book, and he mentioned that this thing is kind of, it ruins his life. And it does, it seems, you know, I can't speak for Jimmy Snuka. I can't speak on the situation because I don't know all the facts, all the details. But usually in something like that, it usually, as he pointed out, something has to be eating away at him that, for, you know, 30 years or so, that this has still affected his life. I mean, besides, you know, who else has gone through a trial in which they are still free, and yet they're still kind of being plagued? I think of someone like O.J. Simpson, and, you know, the evidence of a woman who died, whether she overdosed or whatever the situation was, but she has all these cuts and bruises. You mentioned over 20 on your face, on your legs, on your feet, on your ears, on, you know, all over you, on your, all over your body. You know, if I fall down the stairs, yeah, I might cut my head. Yeah, I might cut my elbow or my knees. But, you know, my back, my ass, my feet, my ears, it seems like there was some foul play at hand. And, you know, as you pointed out, if this is, you know, your loved one, you're not going to rest until you get the truth, because that's all you can hope for at this point. You just want to know what really happened. And the thing that kills you is that you don't know. There is that uncertainty that you're just, well, you just feel like you can't rest until you know the truth. And they kind of got, whether or not they got paid off to just kind of make it go away, or they're still investigating to this day where they want to reopen the case, as he mentioned. And now Jimmy Snuka is, you know, 70 years old. He could be potentially facing jail. And it's just, it kind of just puts a cloud over him and, you know, his history. I mean, you can't take away what he did in the ring, much like Chris Benoit. You can't take away all the accomplishments he had in the ring. But at the same time, you have to acknowledge the fact that you can't celebrate.
Let me just say this, though. The thing with Benoit, we have an idea to what happened. We have an idea that he did murder his son.
Yeah.
We have an idea that he did murder his wife.
Based on the evidence.
All the facts, because it wasn't really, you know, well, you and me weren't really
exactly
in that, following at that time, or at least alive at that time, to go over the facts. So if anybody wants to come and they're listening and wants to rebut it or add to it, get hold of me at King Jordan Radio on Facebook or just King Jordan, Mr. King Jordan on Twitter, and I'll be happy to put you on the show to rebut that. But nevertheless, there's talk of, in better news, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Triple H at WrestleMania. Let's take a listen to this piece. And on the other side, we'll give our thoughts on it.
Some other news and notes from the week. One idea that WWE is reportedly pondering for next year's WrestleMania. This is according to the latest Wrestling Observer newsletter. And it's just an idea right now, but it is for Stone Cold Steve Austin, if they can convince him to return, to wrestle a match, not against CM Punk, but against Triple H in a battle for control of the company. Rock versus Triple H, which I talked about, I think, 2 weeks ago, is another idea that has been teased. Again, how much legitimacy there is to it, nobody seems to know, but the idea is out there. And again, that's a match I would not necessarily mind seeing. Now there's talk that perhaps there is a plan, a more solid plan, to have Austin come back against Triple H. I guess the idea is that Austin would wrestle on behalf of Vince McMahon, almost like his surrogate, which would mean that, I mean, Triple H would have to go heel at some point to make that work, because I don't think they would do babyface versus babyface, and I think they learned their lesson once before about having a heel Steve Austin aligned with Vince McMahon. And I guess Austin would try to beat Triple H so that Triple H can't wrestle control of the company away from Vince. I'm not against the idea of an Austin-Triple H match. I think that would leave Punk open to maybe facing a Daniel Bryan. I think Punk and Bryan at WrestleMania, I think that match is going to happen one day, whether it's next year or 2-3 years from now. I do think one day we will see CM Punk against Daniel Bryan in a main event level match at WrestleMania. And I think they'll tear the house down and have one of the best matches we've ever seen at WrestleMania. Whether, again, that's next year or not, who knows. So it's not like Punk wouldn't have any other opponents to go up against if Stone Cold was occupied elsewhere. But whatever match Austin is in is going to be the main event. So for that reason alone, if nothing else, I would like to see him and Punk, just so that Punk can say he finally got his WrestleMania main event. He was the last match on the card, which I know he said before. He thinks he deserves it. He wants to be in the main event. I mean, everybody wants to be in the main event of WrestleMania, but he does deserve it. I just don't see it happening unless he's in there with either John Cena or Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Punk and Cena, who now are both babyfaces again, we've seen that match a million times. I don't mind seeing them wrestle because they have great chemistry. Every time Punk and Cena are in the ring together, they have a great match. I could see that as being a WrestleMania main event one day. But like I said, whatever match Austin's in, that's the main event. And here's the other thing about Austin, and I commented on him last week on episode 283. He either wrestles at WrestleMania next year, or he never wrestles again. I am convinced of this. It's now or never. And personally, I don't see him wrestling. You know, there's also the issue of getting him medically cleared. As far as I know, one of the problems that Austin had, which led to his retirement, was this condition called spinal stenosis, which is a narrowing of the spinal column. It's the same condition that forced Edge into retirement. Edge didn't want to retire. He had at least another year left on his career before he had been thinking about the idea of retiring, but it wasn't his decision to make. WWE doctors went to him and they would not let him wrestle. They said, "You're not cleared. We're not letting you wrestle." That's it. Now, I had never heard that Edge's neck was worse than Austin's, so if Austin's neck was the worst, and Edge had to retire because he couldn't get medical clearance, what makes you think that Austin's going to get cleared? I think it's a valid question. He may want to come back. He may negotiate to come back. But if they're true to this wellness policy and the doctors and medical clearance and all this stuff, which I believe they are, in the end, it may not even be his decision to make. So that's just something to keep in mind. Speaking of WrestleMania, a decision on the location for WrestleMania 31 in 2015 is expected to be made very soon, and then I guess they're going to try to keep it a secret until early next year, because they're not going to announce it probably. I'm guessing they wouldn't announce anything until at least January of next year, so good luck keeping that a secret. Reportedly, it is between Santa Clara, California, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is where I was just last weekend for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I personally hope it's Philly, selfishly, because that's a much easier trip for me to make. So, although I've never been to California, so I would not necessarily mind going out west either. But it's also, if they go to Philly, I believe it would be Lincoln Financial Field, It's also another Northeast stadium outdoors, and you run a risk with the weather when you do that. We also have an update on Rey Mysterio, who had been targeting SummerSlam for a potential return after his latest round of knee operations. Apparently, Rey is now undergoing stem cell treatment to regenerate ligaments in his knee. He has opted to go the rehab route as opposed to further surgery. But what that means is now, at the earliest, he's looking at an October return, not an August return. I dedicated a whole column to Rey a few weeks back on the Layfield Report. I really think that he can still contribute positively to the roster. I'd like to see him in there with some of these newer guys, the Wyatts, the Shield, and all that stuff. So I hope he makes it back, but if he comes back and he hurts that knee again, then that probably spells the end for his in-ring career, at least in WWE. I mean, I'm not a fool. I want him to come back, and I want him to have matches, but, you know, if he comes back and gets hurt, I think that's it. So hopefully all will be okay with Rey Mysterio. Finally.
Okay, JJ, we have about 3 minutes left, so give me your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, everyone's been buzzing about Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back, having that big match, that big WrestleMania match, and I think a majority of fans, including CM Punk himself, have, you know, he said many times in interviews, in fact, you know, CM Punk was featured in a foreword in Marvel Comics Avengers versus the X-Men, in which he wrote the foreword in the book, and he talked about, you know, two heroes, the X-Men and the Avengers, and he compared it to himself fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin. He said it in the book, and it's something he wants to happen. And it's something that it wouldn't surprise me if maybe even Stone Cold Steve Austin would want, especially the fact that a lot of people compare CM Punk to Austin and the fact that he's very outspoken. He has the attitude, and you know, ever since he delivered that pipe bomb and he wore the Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt, you know, everybody wants to see that match. Do people want to see Austin versus Triple H? I mean, we've had that match, and while, you know, it was, they've had a nice feud for, I think, the better part of a year, and I don't know what year it was, but Austin versus Triple H, especially because there's been no built-up, I mean, I'm sure it would be great. You got Stone Cold Steve Austin, who is, you know, one of the best, Triple H, who's, you know, very reliable when it comes to putting on good matches, but I just don't know if there's really that much of an interest in it. I'm sure they could maybe write up a way to see, you know, how Vince and Austin kind of team up, and of course they'd have to make Vince the good guy, and everybody loves hating Vince. On the one hand, you don't want to hate Austin. Everybody loves Austin, so that's kind of an odd partnership. I could see Triple H turning heel. Everybody loves to hate Triple H anyway. I mean, you know, during his time when he was champion, the majority of the time he was a heel. He's a great heel. And I just don't know if people want to see that. I think so many people, especially for WrestleMania 30 years, the 30th anniversary, you want Austin and Punk. That's even if Austin could be medically cleared. As he mentioned, he had one of the worst, I think, broken necks in wrestling. So many people talk about, you know, Edge and Rhino and Kurt Angle when, you know, they broke their necks and they had to have surgery. And everybody always referred to Austin, who shouldn't even been walking, let alone wrestling. The match he had, his last WrestleMania against The Rock, people were on pins and needles because they were afraid something terrible might happen to Austin. He could be seriously injured. And yet he was in good hands with The Rock. They had a great match that ended their feud and that ended Austin's, basically, his wrestling career. And for him to come back, I definitely see him coming back for that one match. I don't see him coming back full-time. And if he doesn't come back at WrestleMania 30, I don't think he will come back. I don't think there's anyone that he could possibly work with besides maybe a Triple H or a Punk. I mean, who else would you want Austin to face in the WWE today? Possibly John Cena, possibly The Undertaker, but
yeah.
It all depends on whether or not he can be medically cleared, because, you know, at the end of the day, WWE and their, you know, performance center and their wellness, his health has to come first.
No question about it, and I hope everybody enjoys Raw. with this new general manager, I think it is, right?
Yeah, Brad Maddox, the new GM. As we mentioned before, we will see Daniel Bryan taking on Kane. Team Hell No will face each other tonight. You'll see a tables match between Cena and Ryback. I'm sure CM Punk isn't wrestling a match, but I'm sure he will be interfering in Curtis Axel's match. So I definitely see Punk starting that feud with Paul Heyman. So as they build up towards SummerSlam and his match with Brock Lesnar, I'm hoping that there's a surprise on the show where it's another five-star match like we've been seeing the past few weeks. So hopefully it'll turn out to be good.
Okay, folks, tomorrow we got defense attorney Dwayne Tate. We'll talk what's going on in the world of that. And sometime soon we're going to have that Macho Man remembrance thing like we did with Austin.
That would be great.
That would be great, especially since the L11 was fantastic. So keep up with me at King Jordan Radio, like us there, and Mr. King Jordan Radio, Mr. King Jordan at Twitter, and of course, JJ, we thank you so much for being a part of King Jordan Radio.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, we'll speak to you soon. Thanks a lot, JJ.
Bye.
Okay.
Roland Roaster, we take just a few extra minutes to make fast food, great food. Roland Roaster, Emmons and Nostrand Avenues in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, your vision. You've always stood stretched out into the harbor like a welcome sign. To the huddled masses, to the folks on the stoop, to the underdogs, and the unsung. You built bridges for the willing, rewarding them with your spirit. Alive and breathing. Your streets pulse to your own beat. Your people are your charm. Your people are your soul. And we've noticed that we already have a few things in common. We're a friend to the scrappy, the loyal, and ready. We've seen spirit and thrills at its very best. And at its most trying, we've also been the underdogs, waiting for our chance. And now, Brooklyn, we root for the same cause, because we believe in the same things you do. That neighborhood is family. And loyalty never goes away. We're grateful for the chance to be a part of this, to be a part of what could be. To be a part of the first time in a long time to call this place home. And to be able to say, hello, Brooklyn.